Well, good morning. Good morning. It's good to see everybody today. We're so glad that you're here on this third Sunday after Epiphany. And we have gathered together to worship the Lord and continue in our series on facing those relational challenges that we come up against in life. And what a blessing to know that we can find stories and teachings in Scripture that kind of help us along that path. And I know many of you are older and you've been through a lot of that. But you can also help teach some of us that are younger those kind of things and what you faced in life. So it's a good series. I'm hoping that you will enjoy and find wisdom from through that. Well, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria this morning. Together there for our call to worship in the bulletin. Listen, the heavens speak without words. The sun and moon reveal lessons beyond price.
We sing praises to Christ Jesus.
The wind whispers mysteries deeper than the sea.
We rejoice in
Listen and lift your voices to God in worship. Well, let's join and do that this morning as we sing that favorite hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. It's either 552, or you can follow along there on the three verses in the PowerPoint this morning. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all. A wonderful thought to think about, that God's arms are holding us every day. Well, let's join together then for our prayer this morning in the bulletin. Creator God, we worship you for the gifts of peace and healing that you bring into troubled lives. In this time of worship, inspire us to believe our work in your name makes a difference, so we may bring glory to you through our service to you. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. And we're going to go to our next hymn, 260, Because He Lives, this morning. We're going to be singing the three verses there. God sent His Son. They called because He lives. Oh. are the living just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight my soul. No war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds a future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Well, I'm going to invite our kids, if they would come forward this morning and make their way now. Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Come on. You've been down before. Yeah, there you go. Good morning. How's everybody doing? Good. Hey, I got a question for you this morning. How many of you like it when you have to wait? How many of you like it when you have to wait? Do you like to wait? So let me give you some examples. You come home from school and you want to start playing with your toys, and mom says, do your homework first, then you can go play with your toys. What's mom doing? Well, a couple things. Number one, she's wanting you to be responsible, because you got to get your homework done first. You keep your grades up in school or preschool, depending on what you're doing, where you're at. But she's also teaching you how to wait or be patient. It's hard to wait, isn't it? It's not fun. Or how about this? You want to go outside, you just got a bunch of snow, you want to go outside and build a snowman, and dad says, I'll go out and build a snowman with you as soon as you clean up the mess in your bedroom. No, we've got to pick up our toys, we've got to pick up our clothes, or whatever. What are you doing? You're learning to wait. Because you know what? A lot of times in life, we have to wait, don't we? Like when you stand in a big line at school, and you're like, oh my gosh, it's going to take us forever to get through this line. And then the next thing you know, you're already done too. You know, maybe a month or whatever. Yeah, so it's not easy to wait. Guess what? Sometimes we have to wait on God. We have to wait on God. Sometimes when we say a prayer and we're waiting for the answer to come, and it doesn't come, and it doesn't, bless you, and it doesn't come, and it doesn't come, and we're like, oh my gosh. When's that answer to my prayer going to come? But then sometimes the answers come right away. And you're thankful for that. Like when maybe you say a quick prayer under your breath. You say, God, help me on this test. And then the next day or two, you find out you got an A on it. Now, I'm sure it's because you're smart. And you worked hard and you studied. But somebody's having a problem with their phone. And yes, but you know what? I think God does help us too to remember the things we study. So sometimes it's hard to wait, isn't it? Like, oh my gosh, I just saw on TV that Kings Island is open April 10th. And I want to go down to the water park. Well, April will be kind of cold, wouldn't it? Yes, we have to wait till June and July for that. But you're like, May? June? Oh, I don't know. Can I wait 2 months? Or how about when mom starts doing Christmas shopping? But it's 2 months away till Christmas. Oh, can I wait that long? I asked for this new game or toy or whatever, or new book. Can I wait? We all have to learn to wait, don't we? Even adults. Yeah. Yeah. Even us adults. And it's hard sometimes, but you know what? When we wait, good things come. Have you ever heard that? Good things come to those who wait? Yeah. I never believed that when I was a kid. I don't know. But you know what? A lot of times it's true. And sometimes when we don't get the answer to our prayer, maybe it's because God's looking out for us and wants to keep us safe sometimes for things we pray for. All right? Okay. You can go on downstairs this morning. Yes. Love seeing her smile. As they're heading down this morning, we are going to go to our time of prayer, and maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning before we go to prayer. And we are going to let you do that. I already have like 6 on the list already. Somebody this morning, yes. Unspoken, okay.
And Emily had to have another surgery on her left knee.
Oh. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's pray for her for healing and recovery. And somebody else. Yes.
Unspoken.
Okay. Someone else. Let's start right in front here. Okay, 2 unspoken and surgery. And you did say Jean, right?
D.
Gotcha. Okay. Look how close she is and I don't hear what's going on. D, yes.
And my friend Nancy Grantland passed away Monday. He's family.
Okay, so we want to remember the Grammer family?
Grantland.
Okay.
Oh,
okay. I had heard that there was, yes. In fact, when I talked to Ellie this week, we were talking about her sister. And, oh man, I bet you Ellie's probably devastated about that. Yeah. Yeah, we definitely want to keep that family in our prayers. Somebody else, okay, go ahead. Oh, wow. Okay. So we want to remember Chris in our prayers. I thought I saw another hand over here. Maybe not. Okay, a couple of them over there.
Yeah, from the prayer group. Well, we have 3 of yours because we have Lucas and Brooke, and we have also Jill.
But, yes.
I need prayers for my grandson that was shipped. He's in the Air Force to Germany in November, and he had 2 bad heart issues. And when they got him to the hospital, nobody spoke English, and so they had to get somebody from the base. And he's right now having a heart cath. So if we could keep him.
What was his first name again?
Charles, and his last name.
I didn't hear the first name.
Charles.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I don't know if people realize it, but when they ship them, they have to pay all their expenses. And so from Texas to Germany, when they moved in November, the government owes them $15,000. And we thought maybe that caused the heart.
Well, from what you're talking about, I bet it had nothing to do with that. Yeah, there's already some kind of blockage or something else going on there. Yeah, what's going on from what you told me. So we'll know more here in the next day or so. Yeah, and somebody else. Who?
Heather.
Okay. Yeah, we are hearing some things here and there. Lots of flus and different things going around. RSVs. I mean, I was just talking to Susie, Smoke and Mary's daughter, who's the head nurse at Riverside in Columbus. She said all of those things, they're just being flooded with it. And yeah, so we definitely want to keep a lot of those folks in prayer and all that that's going on around there. Somebody else.
Well, Diane Sherwood, Jan Hart needs prayer, and also Jim Cabal needs prayer. And I did have a joy. That Rosie that we prayed for that lived next door to me had her gallbladder out October 11th. She got home Friday.
Oh, wow, that's good. Yeah, we were praying a long time for her with just all those issues. She just never kind of improved there, yeah. So thank God for that. I saw a couple other hands, yep.
First, for my cousin, Doug Tanner. He's starting dialysis.
Okay. Yes, it could be very stressful. Yeah, yeah. It can be very stressful, like she was, like Sue was talking about. Yeah. Okay. Somebody else? Anybody else? Wow, lots today.
I have two uncles and an aunt that need lots of prayers for healing and strength.
Okay. Let's see how I want to word that. Okay. Somebody else? Anybody else? Lots of them. Let me share a few, although a couple of them were mentioned. Continue to lift up Jill, Jody's sister, in prayer as she's went through her second round this last week, and or maybe it was the week before, but I'm not sure. She's got one more round of heavy dose, and then they will probably, I'm assuming they'll do another PET scan to see what's going on. She's been battling weakness through it all, and she got some fluids for that, so we appreciate. excuse me. We want to remember Ian as we've been praying for him, who's battling cancer. We want to remember Priscilla. You know, I was talking to Barney last week, and she has had some issues with rheumatoid arthritis, and they had her on a chemo that was doing wonders for her. But another doctor took her off of that, and Barney said she was walking around with a walker, barely getting around at home. So we definitely need and pray that, you know, maybe if she needs to get back on that other medicine, you know, so she can function. Brooklyn, which Sue mentioned, you remember Jody's niece that we prayed for with the blood clots down her leg? Well, the other night at the restaurant, she started getting hot, perspiring, about passed out, and they found out there's something funky going on with her heart. They thought at first it was a stroke, but they ruled that out, and so we'd appreciate your prayers for Brooklyn. And also, Doug Kirk is going in this Wednesday for knee replacement surgery. And Rhea was asking prayers for him. And let's see, I think that's all of them. the other ones that I had on there. Oh, and Ellie. Sorry, Ellie. We want to remember Ellie as she's had some issues with her good leg. And, you know, that lady needs some breaks and some peace. because it's been one thing after another, and I appreciate your prayers for her today. So lots of overwhelming needs here today, and maybe you can lift up some of those names that come to your mind quietly in your seats as David has something that's played there, and then I'll come and close us out. Pause today, and we are thankful for your presence, and we're thankful that we can bring our burdens and the heaviness that we may carry at times from life, things happening, from what we hear about friends and family and other things at work, whatever it may involve. Jesus, you invited us to bring our heavy, heavy burdens to you and to lay them down at your feet. And so we come today and we bring the burdens that are on our hearts today, especially those that have been mentioned, so many that we are standing in for. And Lord, as I mention their names, we just ask that you would work in each one of these situations, because you know what's going on there. For Ellie, for Jennifer's aunts and uncles, for Sarah, for Doug, for Jim, for Jan, for Heather, for Charles, for Jill, for Ian, for Emily, for Priscilla, for Brooklyn, for Doug, for Dee today, for Chris, for Lucas, God, we lift up each one of them to you as we mention them by name, and we ask that you would work in those situations and bring healing, bring peace, bring comfort, bring faith. Work in those situations, bring recovery, bring strength, God, for each one of those that have been mentioned. And Lord, we're thankful for that today. Lord, we lift up the Granlund family, Lord, with the loss of Ellie's sister, God, that you would bring peace and comfort and grace into that family today. Lord, we lift up these five unspoken needs that were mentioned today. Lord, you know each one of them. And we ask that you would work there as we bring our burdens to you and lay them down at your feet today. And help us, Lord, and in each of these situations, and maybe in our own lives or things that we carried in today that have been worrying us, that have been making us anxious, that has been weighing on our hearts, Lord. Help us to leave them in your care today. For we commit every one of these situations and persons into your hands today, and also those on our monthly list, God. And we lift up Mary Sue, too, and for Smoke and the family, God, and asking for your grace and strength and peace in the time ahead, Lord. And God, we're thankful for all that you do in our lives, for all that you bring about, God, as we entrust these situations into your hands. And Lord, we ask for your blessing and grace on the rest of the service, Lord, as we break the bread of your word. May you encourage us and challenge us and speak to our hearts and help us to trust in you in all areas of our lives, as you are so wonderful in guiding us and leading us and throughout life. So we thank you for these things now as we ask them in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Thank you for joining us in prayer this morning. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving this morning. Thank you so much for your faithfulness and support, and it furthers the work of the kingdom here in our community and world. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Thank you. Let's join together there for our dedication in the bulletin. Gracious Father, accept our gifts and bless them for the sake of your Son, Jesus. May they bear his grace and mercy in our church and world. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. We are going to be continuing this morning in our series this morning, and so we're going to continue in Nehemiah this morning. We're going to pick up the last verse that we left off with last week, and then go into chapter 2 there, 1:11 through 2:6. Oh Lord, please hear my prayer. Listen to the prayers of those who delight in honoring you. Please grant me success today by making the king favorable to me. Put it in his heart to be kind to me. In those days, I was the king's cupbearer. Early the following spring, in the month of Nisan, during the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, something like that's reign, I was serving the king his wine. I had never before appeared sad in his presence. So the king asked me, "Why are you looking so sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled." Then I was terrified, but I replied, "Long live the king! How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire." The king asked, "Well, how can I help you?" With a prayer to the God of heaven, I replied, "If it pleases the king, and if you are pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried." The king, with the queen sitting beside him, asked, "How long will you be gone? And when will you return?" After I told him how long I would be gone, the king agreed to my request. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God would want to say to us this morning. Well, you know, over the last few weeks, I've been sharing some funny things about kids. And so today, I thought I would reverse it and talk to you or share a few things about as we grow older as adults. My memory is not as sharp as it used to be. Also, my memory is not as sharp as it used to be. Do you know how to prevent sagging? Just eat till the wrinkles fill out. It's scary when you start making the same noises as your coffee maker. And then these days, about half the stuff I throw in my shopping cart says "for fast relief." So there's some good. I thought those were funny, so. I got some chuckles out of that this morning. Well, this morning I want to, building on last week's message about don't forget about prayer, I want to talk to you this morning about the challenge of waiting. The challenge of waiting. Okay. In life or work, how often do we run into difficulties with a boss, with a supervisor, with a parent, with a coach, or some other authority figure? I would say almost always. When growing up, just think about this for a minute. When growing up, we had to deal with our parents, We had to deal with our older siblings. I can remember torturing my sisters, and they would chase me with a yardstick because of that. In school, we had to deal with our teachers, our classmates. Or maybe a few of you may remember having to deal with the principal. When we played sports, we had to deal with our coaches or other players. In college, we had to deal with our roommates. Well, I could tell you some stories about that, but I'll leave that one alone. RAs, which is the residential advisors, the people that were in charge of the floor we lived on. Our professors, or hopefully not the dean, or campus security. At work, we have to deal with our bosses, supervisors, and coworkers. It doesn't matter what we do in life, authority figures affect us all around. And because of that, sometimes those situations and challenges we face are not easy. Because if you think about it, and if we're all honest, we would rather run our own lives than to have someone else tell us what to do, not to do, or where to go. And that's why I think it's important as Christians we develop qualities within ourselves that prepare us for such situations and people. Now, Nehemiah experienced the challenges of being associated with having the king of a nation as his boss. Can you imagine for a moment? The king had absolute authority over Nehemiah. So for some that today think we should have a king in the United States instead of a president, listen to this. The king had absolute authority over Nehemiah. Not just his work, but his entire life. If Nehemiah wanted to go to Jerusalem to help his suffering people, he couldn't just take time off and go. Or even quit his job and go. Because that might get him imprisoned or impaled. What did he do? So let's look at this in two ways. First of all, I want to talk about facing challenging superiors. Facing challenging superiors. Well, sometimes higher ups can be demanding in life to us. They can be demanding. The king of Persia had a reputation, and we know that from ancient writings. He had a reputation for being impossible. Have you ever worked with somebody that was impossible? They were always trying to tell you what to do or correct you. Did you ever have a boss that just looked over your shoulder and couldn't wait till you messed up? Ugh. Gosh, I had one of those and I would never want to work with him. It was not in the church setting, so don't get me wrong. It was just in a regular work setting there. But yeah, and Nehemiah may have had, as we talked about last week, an influential or key position in the palace, but that didn't change the way the king of Persia was. Such situations can be hard for us. If you've ever been in those kind of situations, no matter what they are, you know that those kind of situations can be hard. Nehemiah may have loved his job, but at that moment, as we talked about last week and the week before, at that moment in history, his heart was in another place. It was with his people in Jerusalem. And he wanted to go to Jerusalem and help them, but he couldn't just leave. So, building on what I talked about last week, when facing a challenging supervisor, give them, or supervisors, or whatever you want to say, bosses, people you work with, whatever it may be, could be your spouse, I don't know, give them to God. Let me give you a great piece of advice. Do not, I repeat, do not try to change that person or situation to fit your demands or what you think they should be. Because in almost every situation, that backfires. Instead, give the person or situation to God and let God work it out. Every time I tried to make, every time I've tried to make an argument to get somebody to see my way, guess what? Almost never works. It almost never works. And that's just the nature of human beings. But there have been so many situations where I'm like, God, I don't know how to get this changed or fix this or whatever. And I would bring that person or that situation to God. And sometimes it was a serious situation that I was greatly concerned about that I would bring to God in prayer. As we saw last week, Nehemiah prayed for the king. He knew God had to work on his heart so the king would be receptive to Nehemiah's request. So when facing challenging superiors, here's some of the things that we need to remember. Second thing, and here's the hardest thing of this all, is when waiting is critical when facing those kind of challenges in life. Why? Because sometimes, maybe never, I don't know, depends on your situation, we don't see changes in our situations. And that's hard. That's hard. When we don't see the changes we want to see happen, maybe as quickly as we want to see happen. And it can be very frustrating in life. I know I have been there before. And what happened after Nehemiah prayed to the Lord? Nothing. Nothing. And eventually something does happen, but you got to catch verse 11 and chapter 2, verse 1. Because it tells us at the end of 11 and then in the beginning of chapter 2, 4 months had passed. Nehemiah had to wait 4 months. Now, can you imagine? You're at work and you're praying to God saying, God, my people's hurting and they're in devastation and it's horrible. And I want to go and help to fix that and rebuild and all of that. But God, you got to change the king's heart so he'll let me go and let me go and help them. 4 months of waiting. 4 months of waiting. And he finally saw an open door. Now, last week, you remember I talked about being specific, asking boldly, a couple other things there. But sometimes, and I just want you to keep this kind of there. I don't want to discourage you from asking boldly, asking specific, or any of those. You've heard me say this before. I ask boldly, I ask specific, and then I leave it in God's hands. It's not mine to figure it all out and make it happen unless God directs me to do something to help fix something or whatever. But sometimes God's answers are yes. Sometimes God's answers are no. Sometimes God's answer is yes, but not right now. Or sometimes God's answer is yes, but not exactly the way you want it. And so I want you to just kind of keep that in your mind whenever this is going on. Here's what I want you to see. You've never really given something to God until you have learned to wait. And I do not say that arrogantly or condescending or anything, because if you know me, I am not a waiter. Yes, Beth is shaking her head there because we were sitting in CompuNet one morning waiting to get our blood drawn for our. It was funny, we ran into each other and there was two people in front of me and I thought, oh, this won't be long, and then I got to get going, you know, I got a busy day. And then all of a sudden these people start coming in and I'm like, I looked over Beth, how are they going ahead of us? And we come to find out they had checked in online for a time. And so I'm sitting there and I looked over at her and I said, I'm not very patient about this. And she looked, I'll never forget this. She looked over at me and she goes, I think you've been preaching to us about some things about waiting lately. being patient. And I am. I am not a patient person. But here's what I want you to see. It's not only waiting, but it's releasing it to God. Releasing it to God. Releasing that person or that situation. Because if we don't release it, guess what we're going to do? We're going to worry. We're going to fret. We're going to get angry. We might start saying things at work, and the next thing you know, your supervisor's calling you in on the carpet, so to speak, and start asking, hey, your attitude's been really bad, and this has been going around. I've been getting feedback. I mean, that, you know, nobody wants to get called in on the carpet by the boss. And this is tough. Why is this so tough? Because it cuts across the grain of our human nature. But let me encourage you to stay with it. Wait. Give it to God. Let it go. And let God take care of it. We may need to abandon it to God. Abandon our solutions to figuring it all out. And let God take charge. And you know what? That's what Nehemiah did. Second, then, with that, it's also important. Well, there's kind of two things in this one. It's important to keep a good attitude and be honest about our challenges. Now, this is where it gets really hard. Sometimes I can handle waiting. Sometimes, though, while waiting, am I keeping a good attitude in the midst of it? You know what? I appreciate Nehemiah's story and attitude here. He never appears sad. He just goes about his thing. But all of a sudden, after I think the months went by, the king starts to notice something's not just totally right with Nehemiah. And so he kept a good attitude and he kept doing his job. He didn't say, well, if this king doesn't, you know, I'm not going to show up tomorrow or whatever, you know. He kept a good attitude. But when the king noticed then finally that something was wrong, guess what Nehemiah did? When he was asked, what's going on, Nehemiah? Nehemiah didn't shy back. He was honest. And he said, I'm afraid and I'm sad because the city I grew up in is in ruins and its gates have been burned down. Now, when the king asks what he could do to help, I want you to catch something. Now, I don't know if you caught it in the reading. It says that Nehemiah lifted up a quick prayer, a quick breath prayer to God. I think he was asking for wisdom, saying, God, what should I tell him? And here's what Nehemiah ended up saying. If it pleases the king, and if you're pleased with me, your servant, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried. And guess what? He answered that and said, yes, you can. Along with the queen, which is interesting. It makes me wonder if where Nehemiah worked in the palace and continued to work hard and kept a good attitude, if it was the queen that saw him more, you know, at times also in that situation. And all of a sudden, his prayers are being answered before his eyes. Now, let me ask you a couple questions. Have you ever been in the midst of your prayers being answered? And you had been praying and waiting and praying and waiting and praying and waiting. And finally, when it happened, the door just flew open and everything started happening real fast, suddenly. And for a moment, you couldn't believe that your prayers were being answered. Nehemiah had patiently waited for 4 months and now his petitions were happening, were being answered. But I want you to catch this. When the king answered what he could do to help, it sounds like Nehemiah had already thought this out. He already had a plan a little bit there. And he said what he said. What have been some of the challenges you face in relating to a boss or others above you, over you, work with you, side by side every day, or whatever else it may be? Have you ever waited a long time for better conditions? To be noticed? To get a raise that you've been wanting? Or that promotion? Or maybe just for God to answer your prayers? Here's another set of questions. Do you find it easy to talk to God and allow God to lead you and to help change situations in people's hearts? Or do you find that hard to do? Do you have a plan of action ready to step out into when God opens the door and gives you the answer and makes the way that you had been waiting on? These are some of the challenges of waiting. Over the next few weeks now, we will consider more specifically those challenges as they keep coming, as Nehemiah carries out his task and how God continued to work in that situation. Amen. Amen. Okay, take a couple minutes, shake a few hands and greet one another, and then we will close out this morning by singing our chorus, Majesty. Close out this morning by singing Majesty. I believe if I remember right, hold on a quick second here, we will be singing it through twice this morning. Singing it through twice this morning, if you'd like, and it's number one if you want to sing it out of the hymn book, Majesty this morning. Worship His Majesty, Jesus who died, now glorified, King of all kings. Let's sing it again. Majesty, worship His Majesty, unto Jesus be all glory. Of authority flows from His throne unto His own. His anthems ring. So exalt, lift up on high the name of Jesus. Let's join together for our benediction as we leave today. Let us embrace this week with expectation. God's presence goes with us, so go boldly into the future that God has claimed. Amen.